This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dave has the day off. Steve Thompson sitting in. You normally hear me on Saturdays in the fall, college football final. And then, of course, filling in occasionally for Henry Lake. Pete, good to visit with you. Vikes, Bears, high noon, Soldier Field in Chicago. Over the years, can be difficult for the Purple.
It can be. They've had a lot of difficulties down there. It doesn't matter how good or bad the Bears seem to look. It's always a struggle, it seems, for the Vikes. And I don't know if this will be any different. Let's be honest. This is a Bears team that did a lot of things in the last week or so to change things up a little bit. They were struggling. And they played the Green Bay Packers, who, let's call it what it is. The Packers, I think, look pretty outstanding this year. The Lions are absolutely on fire. The Vikings have done extremely well, although they've had a dip here and there. But this is, I think, one of the most competitive and maybe even one of the best parts of the entire NFL, the NFC North. I look at the Packers, Lions, and Vikings, all of which look like they're right there, ready for the playoffs and trying to get in there. But I'll tell you, the last few games do concern me a little bit. I got to be honest with you, Steve. When you consider that we played the Colts, they're 5-6. The Jaguars, they're 2-9. The Titans, 2-8. We didn't dominate those games by any stretch, and we lost to the Rams before we went on to those last three. And then you look at Tennessee, and you start to wonder. They have no offense at all at Tennessee. We knew that going in. We talked about that. And Levis, as a quarterback, has really, really struggled. And Darnold's had his ups and his downs. And the last five games, he's struggled a little bit. He's reverted a little bit to the mean. He's got 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 14 sacks. So we'll have to see. The Chicago Bears, the one thing that's always a constant in Chicago is defense. So we'll see if that defense can step up and do some of the things that they've done this year and for many years in the past as far as what they're able to do, holding down a pretty good offense, I think, with the Vikings.
Over the years, you could say with the Vikes, on the road, on grass, not very good. That narrative has changed. This year, in particular, and really under Kevin O'Connell, they've been a good road team this year. And in reality, over the long haul, any win on the road's a good win. Even that ugly win over the Jaguars, you take it and you move on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You have to play good enough to beat those teams that probably you should beat. And we've done that. We did that with the Colts and the Jaguars and the Titans. We stepped up. We did the right things. We didn't look very good doing it. But like you just said, it's not so much about the looks. Although, as you look into the future a little bit in the playoffs and that type of thing, that gets a little bit more concerning. I think that Caleb Williams, he did make a step up last week when you look at what he was able to accomplish against the Packers. And I'm not saying he had the game of his life, but when you look at his percentage, he actually was 74% on his passing, did pretty well there. Still got a few more sacks. You know, he's been sacked 41 times this year and 24 times just in the last 5 weeks. So it gives you an idea. If you're a Viking and you like Beeflo, our defensive coordinator, he's going to bring that pressure. It'll be really interesting to see what we're able to do against that offensive line that has had no success at all. They have talent there on that team. That's the part that sort of surprises me a little bit is when I look at the receivers that they've got, and they've got DJ Moore, they've got a tight end in Komet, they've got Odunze, that receiver that they drafted very high out of Washington. They've got talent there, and DeAndre Swift is a good running back, a very good running back. I don't think he's the top five or anything, but he's a very good running back. They've got some of the pieces. They just haven't been able to piece this together, and that offense has never been clicking. It doesn't seem like the entire year they've just struggled.
And when you think of the Bears, you get back to that old argument. You get a highly touted quarterback. Look at the struggles Darnold had early in his career. Third overall pick, was put in bad situations and really struggled. Now in a pretty good situation, some would argue a very good situation with the weapons around him here in Minnesota, Darnold has shown that, hey, this guy's got talent and can play quarterback. It gets back to that old argument. Were they fair to Caleb Williams by saying, here's the ball, here you go, good luck?
Well, and I'll tell you, we talked about this in the first hour, but Daniel Jones, right? I mean,
everybody's
talking about him right now, and he's not had the success. But when you think about it, he went to a team. There was a reason why they picked him as high as they did. It says a lot about where the Giants were at the time. So, yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there where you just wonder. Now, Sam Darnold, I think the jury's still out personally, but I know a lot of people are really liking what they're seeing. But he started off great. And then you look at the last three, four, five games. It's certainly not great. It's okay at best, I think. And we do have that great receiver. As a matter of fact, I think we have three really, really top-end receivers. We've had tight ends. I think Josh Oliver is going to be out today, but he's out and Hockenson is back. So you've got a great tight end there. I think the Vikings' success comes from running the football first. If they can get Aaron Jones the ball, and I say this about the Vikings, I say it about the Gophers, if you can get your top running back the ball and he can just get enough yards, they don't have to get 100 yards, but if they get 15 carries and they get something like 75 yards, that becomes extremely meaningful to the quarterback, because that gives us the opportunity for people to not just put their ears back and come at the quarterback on every play. They've got to sit there and watch Aaron Jones, and when he's had great games, that's when the Vikings have actually looked the best on the offense.
And Darnold managing the game. Yep. Way too many turnovers against the Jaguars. Really cleaned it up against the Titans. And it's imperative. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, in this league, and really at any level, Pop Warner all the way up, you know, you got to protect the football. Darnold can't throw picks.
Right. And we had we did what we needed to do against the Jaguars and the Titans and the Colts. But the reality is, and nobody wants to ever point this out, but I will, and I'm not trying to throw, you know, water on the fire or anything, but when you look at the defense of the Colts, they're near the very bottom of the NFL. The worst defense in all of football is the Jaguars, and giving up 26 points a game are the Titans. So it's been a very beneficial thing when you really look at who Sam Darnold has gone up against three of the last four games that we've played, and including the Rams, who actually at least are a .500 football team, and we did lose that game. We lost it 30-20. So I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm not trying to throw water on anything, but you have to look at things from a realistic perspective. The Bears do have a better defense than all those teams I just mentioned. So that will be something to be able to watch as well. But I think it comes down to that, but it also comes down to that offense. That offensive line might be the worst offensive line I've ever seen in the NFL. They're that bad. Those five guys up front for the Bears, they're pretty terrible, and we should be and will probably likely take advantage of that early.
And that almost seems to me mismanagement from the Bears. You're going to get number one overall pick quarterback, cornerstone guy, and then you're going to put him behind that crew.
Yeah.
It just seems like malpractice, Pete.
And it happens all the time. That's the problem, I think, within the NFL, and you look at these general managers. They have to understand that where does it all start? Probably starts at your offensive line, and then it moves to quarterback, and then it moves to receivers. I've said this all year, and I'll continue to say it. I think that wide receivers, we are so deep with wide receivers right now in the NFL and in college football coming out, going into the NFL. There's a lot of depth there, but you don't have that same kind of depth, I think, with the offensive linemen. So you've got to find offensive linemen that you can get fairly high in those drafts to be able to protect those players. Because if they don't have the protection, and you see it with Caleb, you see it with a lot of these quarterbacks that were drafted so high, Sam Darnold being another one of them, they've got to have people protecting them. And when they're getting 40 and 50 and 60 sacks in a year, that tells me that they're not doing the right things with the money and how they're analyzing who they need to protect people, like a Joe Burrow. Look at how many sacks Joe Burrow has had in his career, how many injuries he's had. And Joe Burrow is a great quarterback, in my opinion. He steps up. He's good. He's a big guy. He actually can run pretty well. But, you know, there's been a lot of years where it's just a jailbreak and he's got to get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. That's what makes it difficult, and that's what makes offenses stumble and turn the ball over a lot of the time, is the fact that they just don't have enough protection in there. And the Bears are exactly that team.
Well, and you look at what Jim Harbaugh did when he left Michigan, yeah, and took the LA Chargers job. He got that big kid, O-lineman, yep, right out of the gate, top 10 pick in the first round, to protect Herbert going forward, because he knew, it's like, hey, I got a franchise quarterback here. I got to protect him. And that's the first thing Harbaugh did when he took the Chargers.
You are so right. And I said this just the other day to Vanita on Friday. We were talking about, you know, football and different things. And one of the things that I mentioned was, I think Jim Harbaugh might be the greatest coach I have seen. And I know people will say, well, what does that even mean? Well, at every level, he's had success. He was at the University of San Diego. Then he bounced up. He was at Stanford. He did extremely well there. He went to the 49ers. He did great there. He's everywhere he's gone. He went back to Michigan, wins a national title. He comes in this year. He's with the San Diego Chargers with virtually the exact same pieces that were there last year, and they lost 8 of the last 9 games they played. But they had, the pieces were there. They just weren't used right. He used a first-round pick, number 5 pick in the draft, on Joe Alt, local kid here, yep, John Alt's his father. Let me tell you, Joe Alt will be there and be one of the best, if not the best, offensive tackle in football for the next 10 years. He's mean. He's big. He does things that other players can't do because he's got the athleticism of a tight end, but he's playing tackle. I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh knows exactly what he's doing and how to approach it, even at the NFL level. Not many guys can do that. Very, very few coaches can go from college to the NFL or vice versa. Jim has done it multiple times now, and now today he's playing against his brother, which makes it even more fun. I mean, you know, it's just great to see what these Harbaugh brothers have done, and I say that as a guy who doesn't like Michigan. Josh knows how much I hate that school, but I'll tell you, I give all the credit in the world to what Jim Harbaugh is doing, because he is amazing, and he loves that Bo Schembechler, let's get 3-4 tight ends out on the field and we're going to punch the ball right at you. It's not that far different than that tee that we were talking about earlier today with the prep bowl with Steve Hamilton. I mean, when you look at that power, yeah, tee, you're just pounding the ball at people, and that's what Jim does.
Yeah, and by the way, they've found a way. They're 7-3 to beat Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. That frantic comeback on Sunday,
yep,
they end up winning it 34-27. So they're getting it done out there. They every bit a playoff team, and I agree. Not a huge Jim Harbaugh fan, but it's hard to argue. And then, by the way, his brother John in Baltimore, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for the work he's done in the NFL. He just goes about his business. Now, he has had some superb talent over the years, but I think John Harbaugh is as good as it gets in the NFL.
Steve, I'll throw out one more thing real quick, because I know we got a break probably, but
yeah,
when I look at what Baltimore is doing right now, how about the fact that they went out and they grabbed Derrick Henry when everybody around the entire, yeah, world says, yeah, you don't need running backs, you just need receivers. Let me tell you, if you've got a running back, when you look at Derrick Henry, you look at Saquon Barkley, you look at Gibbs and Montgomery, you look at James Cook and Chase Brown and Josh Jacobs. These are running backs and that are doing it with the run, and it's giving the quarterbacks that much more time, which is huge in the NFL. And because of that, those are the top quarterbacks in the NFL. All those teams that have those running backs are top quarterbacks in the NFL. It gives you a little bit of an idea that the running game still does matter.
Well, and you have to take heat off Lamar Jackson. It can't be all about him. He's going to get killed.
Yeah, it's... You've got to do that, and it buys you time, and that's what all a quarterback needs is another half a second, and if you've got a good running game, that means they get that extra half second. That's why any of those quarterbacks that I mentioned behind those running backs has an opportunity to be great, and they are great this year.
Quick break. We've got more. By the way, the over-under, 39.5, Vikes, Bears today. Vikes favored by 3 on the road at Soldier Field at high noon today, as they try and take another step toward the playoffs with a win on the road. Third straight road game for the Vikings today. It is the Sports Huddle. Pete Najarian's here. Steve in for Dave Schwartz. Josh Wheeler is our producer here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Dave's got the day off. Pete Najarian's here. Steve Thompson's in. Normally on Saturdays. By the way, I'll be sitting in for Henry Lake next week. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. Here on News Talk, A3OWCCO between 6 and 9. We'll get into some sports stuff as well. Be sure to join us in division. Lions-Colts today from Indianapolis at noon. Just quick sidebar on the Lions a little bit. They look like the real deal. I mean, you got to give them credit. Jared Goff, kind of a throw-in on that trade for Matthew Stafford with the Rams. Goff's been really good.
He's outstanding, and not just even really good. I mean, he's had games this year where it's virtually perfect games. I've not seen a quarterback play to the level that he's been playing at most of the year. Now, he's thrown some interceptions recently, but they haven't cost them too much, Steve, and I think that's the real key. But when you look at that team and you look at the head coach, you start right there. I know a lot of people probably find him to be disgusting or whatever they might think. I love the guy. I think if I was playing football right now in the NFL, I'd want him as my coach. And I think there's a lot of free agents out there that are probably thinking the same thing. So the Lions can potentially be a bit of a semi-dynasty, I think, going forward, because it'll be a destination for guys that really want to play for a coach that's completely committed. The guys see that. And you can see it. They got a lot of very intelligent players on that football team, and they're not selfish. You look at the fact that they've got basically a two running back system. That's impressive. They've got great skill position players. Their wide receivers are outstanding. They're another team that's got a decent tight end. They've got a quarterback, of course, and an offensive line. Everywhere you look with the Lions, you can't really poke too many holes in what they've been able to build over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's done a great job. I think early in his head coaching career, made some decisions, in-game decisions that raised a lot of eyebrows. But the players play hard. And you brought it up earlier in the show. They have the ability to run the football. They play physical, and they've got the weapons on the outside as well, and a quarterback who can get them the ball.
Yeah, that offensive line that they've built over all these years. Yeah. And by the way, that tight end out of Iowa that they've got, Laporta, he's another one of these where you look at him and you say, you know what, in college people thought he was good, not great. I thought he was great, not good. And I'll tell you, he's pressing it for them every single game. It makes you want to root for their team when you see how the players and how the team comes together. You see all the stuff that goes on in the locker room after the games when he's giving game balls out and everything, the head coach. It just looks like it's a family. It looks like a bunch of guys that are absolutely working for the same end. And I'll tell you what, whether it's Jared Goff or Gibbs or any of the players on that team, they are committed, and they're fun to watch. I think the Lions right now might be the most fun team, more fun than probably Kansas City even, I think, when you look at the talent that Detroit throws onto the field.
So if the Lions are at one end of the spectrum in the NFL, you've got the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers at the other end. There's all sorts of rumors. It's been a nightmare. They gave him all the money. He got hurt a couple of plays into last season. He's come back. He can be a distraction. They're not good. Now there's rumors he may be hurt. He may be released. I mean, there's a lot going on in New York around Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
And as a guy who lived in New York for a number of years, actually just on the fringe of New York, but I worked in New York for about 10 years, I can tell you the Jets fans are real. They are committed. They're very similar to Buffalo. They are true ultra fans. And what's happened ever since Aaron Rodgers got there, it wasn't his fault the first year, obviously. He got that Achilles, and that's a killer. That really is. But I'll tell you, Steve, when I watch them play this year and he's actually on the field, there's something about him that looks like he's not a great team player. He goes and mopes over on the sidelines when he's angry. That's not what you do. When you're a quarterback, you're the face of the franchise. You've got to walk up and down and talk to all the players and give them a sense of what they should be doing differently than we are and all that type of – he's not doing that. He puts a towel over his head, ducks himself down, and that's what he does as a player. So if indeed any of these rumors are true and somebody wants to reach out and bring Aaron Rodgers in, I'll tell you what, you better be careful, because what are you going to get if it starts to not work right out of the gate? Is he going to revert to exactly what he's doing right now with the Jets if he goes somewhere else? If I was a general manager, and I know Aaron, I like Aaron, but if I was a general manager, I would not pick him up.
There is a lot going on the local sports scene today. Vikes on the road at Bears. High noon, Vikes favored by 3. Timberwolves play the Celtics in Boston today. 2:30 start. Chris Hine will join us from the Star Tribune very shortly to give us an update. The Loons in action. They play the LA Galaxy in the conference semifinals of Major League Soccer at 5 today. That is on FS1 if you don't have Apple TV. And then at the Barn today, there's something going on at the U. Golden Gopher women's hoops against Montana at 2 o'clock. Dawn Plitzel White's club will go without Mara Braun. She is injured again. Bad news there. 2 o'clock start once again at Williams Arena. Quick break. More on the huddle coming up. Pete Najarian's in. Josh Wheeler's our producer. I'm sitting in for Dave. My name is Steve Thompson here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Dave's got the day off. Steve Thompson sitting in. Pete Najarian is here. Josh Wheeler is our producer. And joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Chris Hine, who covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. Chris, good to visit with you, and I couldn't help but taking notice of the lead in the story today in the paper about the Timberwolves in advance of their game with the Celtics today. And Julius Randle just kind of said, what happened in Toronto wasn't all that good. I thought it was kind of a funny icebreaker in your story there.
Yeah, he saw us coming over yesterday at practice in Boston, and he just kind of yelled out for everybody to hear, like, "I didn't throw him the ball. What else do you want me to say?" You know, something like that. And so, because he kind of knew what was coming. yesterday was – I wasn't in Toronto, and I don't think any Wolves media traveled to Toronto for Thursday's game. And, of course, you know, probably the lowest moment of the season so far happens in that game. So yesterday was the first chance I got to ask some of the players about what happened. And, you know, teams go through these moments in a season, in the course of a season. They happen a lot. And it's kind of how you respond to those moments that defines your season, right? You know, do you use it as a rallying point, or is it a moment where, you know, bad things spiral into worse things? So, you know, I think that's where this Wolves team is at right now, is what do they do going forward here? Do they use it as a springboard, as a moment to come together and get some more urgency into this group? Or is it a sign of things to come that, you know, is there, you know, tension or whatever you want to call it, or just bad chemistry, you know, that will affect the roster moving forward? I think, you know, about 20 games into the season or 15 games into the season, that's maybe when you start to see these kind of things. So, you know, the answer is now it happens. Everybody's addressed it and everybody's going to try to move on. But how quickly do they move on from it, and are they able to move on from it, is the question.
Chris, it's Pete Najarian. I got a question for you. Obviously, since the big trade that everybody's talked about, we've all talked about it forever ad nauseum, but the reality is this, that the turnover numbers look terrible. Rebounding per game does not look very good. We're struggling from three-point percentage shooting. We're near the bottom. Is there something that they can do differently? I mean, what is it that we are so different now without Cat? Now that we've added Julius Randle and Dante and some of the other players, it's just an amazing turn from where we were a year ago. And what is it that they need to do to fix that?
You know, I harken back to something that Chris Finch said, like, in his second year here. And with the way that he runs his offense, he has often said that sometimes with his offense, it takes about 20 games for it all to click in. Now, fans might not want to hear that, right? Especially when you're coming off of the Western Conference final season. But when you make new personnel changes like they have, you know, you have to give some leeway in that respect. Now, I hear the frustration, but I also harken back to what happened 3 years ago with this team. They were 4-9. The year they made the playoffs and played in Memphis. They were 4-9. The vibes couldn't be any worse, right? That was a bad vibe moment as well. But you know what happened about maybe 30 games into the season? the Wolves started playing great offense. They were the number one offense in the league going forward, and they played really well from January onward. So, you know, if things look bleak right now, but I have been trying to maintain some perspective and not try to overreact, which is maybe not the thing to do in this social media day and age and get engagement and clicks and all that stuff. But, you know, I try to take the long view on these things. And I still think this roster is marinating in some ways. But I will say the one thing that concerns me, I think some of the offensive schematic things can iron themselves out. What I think is the biggest concern through 15 games and something that this team really needs to pick up now, or else I think they are a bit of a lost cause, is some of the effort things, is some of the attention to detail things on defense, is the rebounding. Because those are the things that have doomed them in the past with this core of players like Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Naz Reid. And if those things don't improve, that's where I think the true Achilles heel of this team is. It is on the defensive end. It is on those margins, on those little things that they haven't always done well with this group of players.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree, Chris, and that's maybe where the lion's share of the frustration that I'm hearing about this team is that some nights there's just no effort whatsoever. And the one thing you can say about the all-time greats, you look at LeBron James at his advanced age, that there is tremendous effort. The late, great Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and one that hits very close to home, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett brought it every night. Effort can be there night in and night out.
It can. And I think on a large part, I think the effort is generally there. Now what I think people are seeing sometimes out there is confusion can sometimes look like a lack of effort, right? Indecision can look like a lack of effort or a lack of trying, right? If you're not sure whether you're supposed to go out and cover somebody or go cover the rim and you just kind of freeze, right? That's not necessarily a lack of effort. It's confusion, it's indecision. But that has to get fixed, and that has to get fixed quickly. And I think that's what they were preaching before the Toronto game, was that they were trying to fix some of these moments of confusion and indecision on the defensive end of the floor, but they didn't. They looked awful. How many times did Toronto just get free passes to the rim, especially in that fourth quarter? And that's not a very good Toronto team early in the season right now. So I don't know that it's always a question of effort. I think it's more focus and attention to detail, and being decisive and having some of these schematic things that they're trying to do become instinctual rather than something that guys have to think about and then act.
Chris, one of the things that people have heard me talk about time and time again when we talk about the Timberwolves and the different players that we've got, I've always been a huge fan of Naz Reid. How he approaches the game, when he gets onto the floor, he makes things happen. He's, you know, look at the numbers that he puts up when you look at the amount of minutes that he plays per game. So I love what I see out of Naz Reid, but I'd also like to see him get the ball more along with Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert inside. The way he's playing right now, very, you know, close to the basket, everything else, but he's going to get you points. And I think that's something that we're not doing enough, is getting him the ball inside. He's played well. He just doesn't get the ball nearly enough. Do you agree with that, or do you like the kind of offense that they're running? I just think inside we're missing out on opportunities there with Rudy.
I think Rudy has played overall a fairly good year offensively.
Yeah.
You know, the glaring issues from Thursday night notwithstanding, I do think overall this is probably the best he has looked on the offensive end of the floor during his Timberwolves tenure so far. So I would agree with you a little bit there. I just think that this team, you know, they try not to funnel the ball for any one particular person. And I think it's just about creating shots for whoever's open, using the gravity of Anthony Edwards, using the passing ability of Julius Randle, using Naz's ability to handle and shoot. And Rudy has just kind of always been kind of a tangential piece of the offense in that regard. I think again, Thursday notwithstanding, I think guys have been willing to throw him the ball in the post, find him on the lob. You know, with Anthony Edwards, it's always a constant work in progress, I feel like. But other guys on the team, like Julius Randle, like Dante DiVincenzo, Mike Conley, of course, Jaden McDaniels, you know, they look for Rudy. And so I wonder, you know, I'm not sure how much of playing through Rudy in the post is going to be a part of the fixes, but I think they are incorporating him a little more into the offense with the ball in his hands than I've seen in his years here in Minnesota.
Chris Hine joining us from the Star Tribune covers the Timberwolves. They play the Celtics today, and this is a tall order. In your notes, everybody knows that the Wolves seeking their first victory in Boston since 05. Mike Conley not available today. This is a tall order. The champs playing well.
This is, and you know they're going to be launching from 3-point range, 53-point attempts a game for Boston so far this season. They thought the Wolves were taking a lot of threes just with PSC Boston today. They're relentless, and that's what Boston does. They have wing defenders for days with Drew Holiday and Derek White and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You know, it's a great team. It's a focused team. It's even after a championship, it's a determined team because of some of the things that happened with Jaylen Brown, the Olympic team, and Jason Tatum, the Olympic team in the offseason. So, you know, I think they're running into a team that, you know, I guess if you can guard them and make some of these 3-point attempts contested, you can have some success against Boston, but it's tough because this is a roster that, speaking of chemistry, they have it oozing out of their pores, and the Wolves are trying to find it.
Chris, last minute, and real quick, I just wanted to ask. So on the road, we've obviously struggled. One of my biggest concerns, however, has been the turnovers, and we've seen a lot of that, and it's been pretty amazing just to watch 20-plus turnovers pretty frequently. Is there anything they're doing about that? Is there anything that they're working on when they're just practicing and all so they can avoid some of that type of a turnover number, which is ridiculous?
Yeah, that's something that's on – you know, mostly I would say, you know, obviously the point guards, but Ant as well. And it's a fine line you have to walk with some of that, right? Like, you want Anthony Edwards to be aggressive. You want him to draw a crowd and try to make plays for his open teammates. And sometimes that is going to result in turnovers, right? When you have offenses that are predicated on high ball movement, think of the Warriors, for example, right? High amount of ball movement, that increases the likelihood that you are going to commit turnovers. You know, you could have a low turnover offense, but it could be the most boring offense in the world because it might be just iso ball, right? You're not going to turn the ball over in a heavy iso ball offense, but it's not going to be great offense. So I think that there's a little give and take with the turnover numbers, where I think, you know, Chris Finch has always kind of said around 12 is kind of an acceptable number. But the thing is, there have been you go back for any game this year, there have been a lot of careless turnovers. I remember being in Portland, and I was astounded at the number of times they turned it over on inbound passes. I was like, what is going on here? So, you know, I think turnovers that come within the flow of the offense or guys trying to make aggressive plays, they will live with. It's the other stuff. It's the turning it over in the backcourt, turning it over on out-of-bounds plays. And just careless mistakes, that's the stuff that they're trying to clean up. The other stuff that it comes within the flow of the offense or Anthony Edwards trying to make a play, that's the kind of stuff you have to live with the way that they play.
All right, Chris, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Hine joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. Tough one with the Celtics, 13-3, the defending champs at home at 2:30 today. We'll take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on it, wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and talk a little Wild hockey in a moment here on the Sports Huddle News Talk, 830-WCCO. Hey, it's the Sports Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz. Dave not here today. Steve Thompson sitting in. A big thanks to Josh Wheeler and all his hard work. Big thanks to all our guests. Steve Hamilton, Elk River Elks head football coach. Elks beat Alexandria in the 5A championship game at Prep Bowl on Saturday. Mike Burns, University of Minnesota Gymnastics Club. What a job they're doing. And Pete, just a sidebar on our chat with Mike. What a great story that is. In the face of adversity, to to continue to plow forward is amazing.
Yeah, to rise up the way they did,
oh,
at the fashion that they did, and to not give up, but yeah, to fight through, yeah, it, absolutely. You got to give them all the credit in the world. They're national champions, you
right,
know, as a club, yeah, sport. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and the fact that I have a feeling there's going to be people that are going to get behind them financially and get them a spot near the U where they can train and do everything they need to do and keep this wonderful program afloat. And then, of course, Chris Hine from the Star Tribune talking Timberwolves in a tall order today. They're going to need to play well to have a chance to pull the upset. The Wild are playing well. Even though they got beaten a shootout in Calgary by the Flames yesterday, they are still off to a phenomenal start, and they played two-thirds of their games on the road so far.
Yeah, that's been the amazing thing, and a lot of people are saying, well, what's the difference right now between the Wild and, let's say, the Winnipeg Jets? Why are we number two, they're number one? They've played most of their games at home. We've been on the road. And that does make a big difference. Anybody who's ever been to a Wild game or any professional hockey game, I think those stadiums do change things even more than in football stadiums, certainly in baseball stadiums. Maybe the NBA is competitive with the NHL when it comes to that. But I'll tell you, it is a big difference. And normally, you just have to take a quick look. But with the Wild and what they've been able to do already this year on the road has been spectacular. And they've done it now, and now they've got Zuccarello, which is a tough one, to not have him on the ice. But Kaprizov, is that guy as good as all of us were hoping he would be? I'd say absolutely yes, and maybe even better. I mean, he's absolutely amazing what he's been able to accomplish this year. He's top five in just about every category you could want, points, goals, whatever. And he's not the only one. I mean, Boldy's been playing great. Rossi's been, yeah, playing great. Our goaltending has been outstanding. So I'm really excited for what the Wild are able to accomplish so far.
Yeah, it is a great story. And by the way, Kaprizov was not available, did not skate in the game with Calgary yesterday. They get Winnipeg at home, so head-to-head with the arch, yeah, rival from north of the border. And that's a sneaky good rivalry in sports, and we talk about rivalries, Vikings, Packers, that sort of thing. That Jets Wild rivalry, that's a real deal. That's good stuff.
Yep, and just below us, and we got to keep a little bit of an eye on Dallas too. The old North, yeah, Stars, they're not looking so bad either. So that's gonna be something. So we've got somebody to the south, and then Winnipeg just above us on the other side of the border. The Wild look great, and it's really impressive. Love what they're doing right now, and I think that the fans, we've got the best fans in all of hockey. I absolutely think that's a true statement. They're impressive.
Yeah, bit of a weird week. Winnipeg at home Monday, at Buffalo Wednesday, off for Thanksgiving, and then home Friday matinee. Love that matinee against Chicago on Friday after Thanksgiving, and then Nashville here on Saturday night. Hey, Pete, we got to run. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You as well, Steve. Thanks a lot, and thanks for filling in today. Great show.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, Dave Schwartz, he had the week off. He'll be back next week. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler and all those guests.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mention, and for you tuning in, happy Thanksgiving from the Sports Huddle on CCO.